Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 255 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
It's just the three of us. Carson, he gone. Well, he had to work because he's a normal human. Amazing in every way, but, you know, has a life.
Most people don't have a job where this qualifies as their work, so.
True. He's a real person is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, he was awesome. We'll have other hosts on the episodes again. So if you like your host, bug them to come be on the podcast with us. That's really my point.
Absolutely.
Seriously, just like get a stick and poke them.
No, don't do that. We are not advocating poking your hosts. Which, by the way, is that still a thing on Facebook, poking people?
I don't believe
I
so.
I think it's an option. I just can't remember the last time I was poked.
I think they got rid of it like 3 or 4 years ago. Not that I am the world's leading expert on Facebook. I now have my third post for this year, which makes 2018 the most posted year for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, wait, Nick posted something?
Yeah.
Sarah didn't post something and tag Nick?
Right, yeah, no, it was three posts this year. That is by far my most posted year.
Facebook posts is the original.
Indeed,
you can still
poke.
Oh, wow, look at that.
I'm glad we were both pulling it up because I did not want... I didn't want to be wrong about that. But you were just guessing. You were just throwing it out there.
No. I read an article somewhere that they replaced it with something else. Maybe they brought it back.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, the history of poking? The history of poking was not something I was prepared to
That would be a good book title. I would definitely buy that.
Yeah.
Speaking of poking, we're hosting Dirty Sexy Trivia.
I was looking for a window to make that same segue.
Yeah, well, if you're in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, Dirty Sexy Trivia on Valentine's Day at Penn Social.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. There will be R-rated material, and my search history is just entirely not safe for work.
Yeah, it's every 5 minutes Lindsay's screaming in the other room going, damn it, I didn't think of what I was searching before I searched it. These results are not good.
I'm scarred for life. But anyway, come to the event to make it worth it, and I can tell you what I've seen take you down the horrors. But anyway, no one cares about that. Come to the event. It'll be fun. Michael.
Yes.
You have a fact. Nick has a fact. I have a fact, and I want to hear what is your fact.
Okay. Well, my fact, pretty straightforward. Which food company once petitioned the U.S. Treasury to make a 7.5 cent coin?
That has to
I
be.
Know this.
Do you know it?
I do. And I know why, too. And I want to see if I'm right, though.
Okay.
I don't know it off the top of my head, but I would assume it has to be something like Coca-Cola for vending machines.
Yes.
Yes.
Now the reason I was hesitant, I wasn't sure if this is one I used before. But getting into it, this is from an NPR article, and it actually gets really interesting as to why this was the case, and also the reason that you see in bottles 5 cents on all the old signage.
Okay.
That's because for a number of years, Coke didn't own their bottling rights.
Okay. They had another company that bottled their product for them. That makes sense.
Right. But the problem was, as inflation kind of kept going up, they weren't going to make any extra money.
Got it.
They had negotiated this contract to sell them the syrup at a fixed rate, no matter what it is. So if they started charging more for bottling,
company made the profit.
Exactly, not
Coca-Cola. Right.
So
they showed them. They went back and brought everything in the production chain up and down the ladder and said, get out.
Well, this was back in 1899. Too.
Right.
This is way back when. Two lawyers paid a visit to the president of Coca-Cola, and one of the economists they interviewed for this. Look, if you got two lawyers in the office, you probably just want them to leave.
Yeah, generally. That's always my philosophy.
So it's probably that he just signed it away, not giving it much thought.
Right.
So what you do if you – so it says here, so if you're Coca-Cola, you want to somehow keep the price down to 5 cents so you can sell as much syrup as possible to the bottlers. What do? You blanket the entire nation with a Coca-Cola advertising that says 5 cents.
Right. And then they can't change the price.
Right. So it stayed that way until –
it was at least, 60, 70 years,
something
right?
Something like that, yeah.
It's a very, very long time.
It wasn't until the 1940s that it went up to 6 cents in some areas. So what they
did... Do you think that people back in the 1940s when it came out and they raised it, they're like, oh my gosh, back in my day, Coca-Cola was only 5 cents? Yeah.
Yes, I fully expect that to have happened. There's no way that didn't happen.
We actually, growing up, my dad had this very old Coke machine that was and kept a little jar of nickels on top of it, and it was the 5 cent machine.
Uh-huh.
With the door and you pull
those
it
are
out.
Worth a lot of money now. Does he still have it?
No, he got rid of it.
Okay.
He sold it.
Wait, did it have Cokes in it?
Yeah, no, we kept Cokes in it when we could. The thing is, it was so old it kept breaking down.
Right.
So getting the parts to fix it and whatever, he ended up just selling it and going like,
right,
be done with it.
He could fix it up now and sell it for like $200,000.
Oh, sure.
Tragic.
So, and it says here the last nickel coke seems to have been in 1959. So the nickel price lasted over 70 years.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
So what happened in regards to their, you know, lobbying for getting this 7.5 cent coin? Did everyone look at them and say, this is ridiculous? Because it is. Or were they kind of like, meh?
Well, it says here they asked the U.S. Treasury to issue a 7.5 cent coin. At one point, the head of Coca-Cola asked President Eisenhower for help because they were hunting buddies.
I was going to say, it's always nice to have good connections.
Absolutely.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
I'll tell you what, you put me in a room with just about anybody, I'll ask the question that I want to ask.
Right, yeah, nobody's going to listen.
Nobody's going to listen, but half of it's being in the room.
Right.
Getting that meeting.
That's more than half of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
Eisenhower, it just died.
It didn't get into much more detail about how it happened, but it just...
Eisenhower laughed at them, and then they shot another quail.
Right, exactly. I'd imagine how that conversation goes.
Huh. Well, cool. Well, they are talking about getting rid of pennies, so...
Yeah. What's your take on that?
I do not have any sort of... any sort of expertise or background or anything, and I don't feel confident enough in making an opinion. But that's not going to stop me.
Okay.
No, I like pennies. I think they're fun. I think it'd be very weird to just get rid of a form of currency and just round, like, just be weird.
We've done it before.
Yeah, but it's a pen. I don't know.
I mean, there used to be a hay penny. There was a $10,000 bill and a $1,000 bill.
Right. The $2 bills are not in circulation.
$2 bills are no longer in circulation.
Right. But that's not an entire I mean, in the sense that you can still get to $2 by using two $1 bills. If you get rid of the penny completely, you're never going to have anything less
than
a nickel.
You can't get to 3 cents.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Anyway, we're just spinning our wheels because none of us know really what we're talking about. And let this serve as the first time in 255 episodes that we admit that and we move on.
That's right. On the We Don't Know Either podcast, we are admitting to something that we don't know.
So doing a little bit of research, which is what we do into the subject, eliminating the penny because it costs 1.7 cents to make a penny.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you eliminate the penny from the circulation, it would save $132 million a year.
Okay. That is a lot of money, but doesn't seem like a lot of money compared to a lot of other things we're spending on. I mean, what would be the economic impact of completely eliminating? A price is going to go up because you can't do the penny differences? Because when you're selling X number of things at $14.97,
right,
how is that going to affect consumers? Need to know.
Right. Those are all marketing ploys more than they are anything else. You round everything up or down to the nearest nickel and it saves money for everybody.
Right. And I bet you that all of those retailers are definitely going to round down.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think we're talking about two different things right here. One, we're talking about the elimination of the penny altogether. Two is the stopping of circulation of the penny. Maybe it's just easier to make a cheaper coin.
Wait, okay. You guys remember when I was like, hey, let's move on. Let's do that. Nick, I want to hear your fact.
All right. My interesting fact is also food-based.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We have a big food event tonight. So everybody, I think, is food forward as far as their interesting fact goes. Costco. Have you been to Costco?
I've been to Sam's Club.
Okay.
So it's like the same thing.
It's similar, but
potentially
probably not.
Yeah. Potentially not anymore. I don't know if you've heard about that or not.
I think I've been to Costco.
Okay, Michael?
I've been to both. The reason I mentioned that is I think they closed a bunch of Sam's Clubs the last week.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, then topical too. So if you go to Costco, for those of you who haven't been, they have like a food court-y kind of area of the establishment. And they have a hot dog and a Coke.
Yep.
Like a combo meal. Hot dog and Coke. How much? For those of you who are not familiar with Costco.
Maybe like $1.88 or something like that. It's ridiculously low.
It's $1.50.
Okay.
$1.50 for a foot-long hot dog and a refillable 20-ounce, you know, fountain drink.
So you're saying I don't need the 3 pennies?
You don't need the 3 pennies. $1.50. And that's, you know, Sarah and I go on multiple date nights all the time because we can do Costco for $3. That's our date night. How many hot dogs per year does Costco sell?
Well, I don't have a Costco membership, not yet. Hint, hint, Costco, if you want to, you know, sponsor me individually, that's fine. But I do love hot dogs. So if I go to Dollar Dog Night, I like to consume 3 or 4 hot dogs in one sitting.
Okay.
This does not affect the math at all because I feel like this is just a stab in the dark as to the amount. But I'll say 476 million hot dogs.
Okay.
See, silly me. I'm sitting here trying to logic and math my way through this.
No, I just wanted to say a fact about how many hot dogs I eat, that I like them, and then blindly throw a guess.
So
this is pretty typical for me.
So a couple.
Real roughly 1.5 hot dogs per person in this country.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, no, that seems like a lot now.
Yeah, yes, it really does.
I'll stick to it.
All right. Michael?
See, this is where I go back to the math in my head. I'm going to assume 200 stores. They sell 100 dogs a day.
No, they sell way more than 100 dogs a day.
Sure, for your typical Saturday, but how many people are rolling into a Costco on a Tuesday?
To my Costco, all of the people. All of the people are always there.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been to IKEA, and it's on weeknights anytime. It's the same thing. The food is cheap there because they want people to stay in the stores. Right. It makes sense. And, you know, if you think you're saving here, you'll buy something else from the store. I get it.
You got to love somebody that took a blind stab but then makes fun of your logic as you're trying to come through it, too.
Yeah, it depends on how flawed the logic is.
Yeah.
So your guess, then, right off the top of your head, 100 hot dogs a day times 200 locations, 2,000 hot dogs, 730,000 hot dogs a year.
Yeah.
That's really wrong.
We'll round it up 750,000.
750,000.
Okay, I would like to say that Michael is more wrong than I am wrong.
No, that is incorrect.
Damn.
What
Michael
up?
Is less wrong, although still extremely wrong. 100 million hot dogs.
Whoa.
They sell 100 million hot dogs per year.
That was going to be my next blind guess in the sense that it was a nice round number.
Yeah. So now the truly interesting thing about that is the price of the hot dog has never gone up. That's where it started.
Okay.
Oh.
Like 30, 40 years ago when Costco started, it started at $1.50. They've always kept it there. And conversely to what most companies do, the size of the hot dog and the size of the drink have grown.
I was going to ask about the size of the Coke.
Right? So the original hot dog was like 10 inches long, and now it's a foot long. And the original drink...
It's a foot long. You got to lead with that, man.
Yeah.
I did.
You never said it was a foot long dog.
You know what the beauty is of having a podcast? You can go back and check the tape.
Please do. You're outvoted, and you did not say the length of the dog, because that would have affected greatly my clear logic.
I love the fact that we'll go back and check it as soon as we're done recording it.
We're going to do it. Yeah.
And then at the beginning of next episode, will be an apology from somebody. That's so much more entertaining.
I don't know about you, Michael,
but
I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it.
The hot dog has actually increased in size over the years as the size of the fountain drink has increased. I mean, originally it was a bottle.
Sure.
And now it's a 20-ounce fountain drink with unlimited refills. So it has gone drastically through the roof as far as value goes, and they have never increased the price, which I thought was absolutely amazing.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I hope that they don't do that in the 3 days that this podcast will air.
Also, it's like I said, it's a great date night for Sarah and I because it's $3 for the date night. Now, we did one time go with another couple, and to this day, I cannot figure out how they did it. They spent $27 at the food court between the two of them.
Full pizza.
No.
Really?
No.
What a mystery.
They ordered like 12 things, and I'm still trying to figure out how they ate it all, but it was ridiculous. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anywho, that was my fact. Food-based. I'm hungry. Let's go to dinner.
Cool. My fact is not about food because I have a food one for next week, I think. So I was like, I'll mix it up. I always like to come with multiple ones so we can kind of see where you guys are going to be. Because we realized that once we started telling each other categories of facts, we often realized that we had the same fact. And so we won't do that. Anyway, have you guys heard of this little movie called The Prestige?
I have.
Okay. I didn't.
Wait. Hold on. Clarify in my head, because it's been a number of years, and as Hollywood often does, there are two of the same movies that come out at the same time. The Prestige was the one with Christian Bale and Hugh Jackman?
Yes.
Okay.
Scarlett Johansson.
Got it.
2006.
Rival Magicians.
The one with the old Chinese man?
Yes. Yeah, that's the beginning of the film.
Got it.
And the fishbowl.
Yeah.
Yes. So I, one, didn't know this movie existed.
Okay.
And two, just saw it for the first time. So I've just been dying to talk about it.
So essentially, it's just like every other movie out there.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and I, you know, in 2006, when this movie came out, this is what I want to talk about next after my interesting fact that these movies come out at the same time, the same year. And it's going through the list of these. Any guesses as to the name?
The
name of this category of movie that it's two movies.
Oh, it's two coming out at
similar
the same time.
Plots coming around the same.
Finding Nemo and A Shark's Tale.
A Zootopia and a Sing.
Right.
For example.
Ants and A Bug Life.
Yes.
Or,
I feel like we can keep going around and keep doing this.
Yeah. But that's everybody gets the concept.
Yeah. The Scoop, The Illusionist.
So there's a word
Prestige.
For that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The
what
Illusionist,
is the word?
Thank you.
Yeah. That's what I was
looking at. The Scoop had Hugh Jackman and Scarlett Johansson in the same year, and it was about magic. Anyway.
Yeah. I have no idea.
It's called Twin Movies.
Okay.
Okay.
That's not my fact. Just right. a bonus. Throwing it in there because I want to talk about it after. So I was floored. I was like, this movie's amazing. Oh, my gosh. I was sweaty watching it, like just to set the scene, profusely sweating. I was like pacing. I was like, this movie is too intense for me to handle right now. And I was watching with two people that had already seen this. So they're just cracking up at my reactions to things. No spoilers. So this led me to.
Really? You don't want to do spoilers for a movie that's 20
years old?
No, we're not going
to tell.
Okay.
I didn't know.
11 years old. 12 years old.
I didn't know what happened. And it made the movie more enjoyable.
Of course it did.
Enjoyable?
Sure. Enjoyable.
Dang it. So this led me to wonder what oh my gosh, I can't talk because I'm just thinking about enjoyable. Anyway, which Christopher Nolan movie has the highest Rotten Tomatoes ranking? So this is not him executive producing. This is directed by Christopher Nolan. Which Christopher Nolan movie is the best, highest score on Rotten Tomatoes?
On Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so I'm using the tomato meter.
Right. And is it the critic score or the audience score?
It is just called the rating, the percentage rating.
Overall.
So, yeah, overall rating.
I feel like it's got to be
Dark Knight, right?
Dark Knight is correct. Yes, that's the best one.
Hey.
I meant to ask which one's the worst.
Oh, got it. That would be the opposite question of what you asked.
Yes, so Dark Knight is the best at 94% because it is amazing. I did have a friend, Chris, that tried to argue with me that The Dark Knight Rises was better than Dark Knight.
Which
and
one
I
was
almost
with the Joker?
Slapped him.
That's Dark Knight. Okay, then that's the one I meant.
He's like, the theme of The Dark Knight Rises is better. I was like, but the movie was crap.
Right, yeah, it had no Joker.
Yeah, it's like, I thought we've been friends, but I don't really know you. Okay, so worst Christopher Nolan directed movie, and this follow-up is, what is the score?
Okay, so.
Is it The Dark Knight Rises?
It is not The Dark Knight Rises.
He has more than
Rises.
One movie.
It is not The Dark Knight Rises. That's at 80-something percent.
Let me ask this question. Is it a movie that we've heard of?
Yeah. Okay. All of his have grossed millions and millions and millions of dollars at the box office. I mean, he's not had one that you haven't heard of.
All right.
Well, this is the thing, though, is I bet you I'd know the movie. I just didn't know it was going to be a Christopher Nolan movie. So, like, The Prestige, until she said that, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was a Christopher Nolan movie.
Right. Okay. So then would it kill the fact if I read off the list? It's only 14 movies.
Yeah, you can read them off. Go for it.
Okay. So Dunkirk.
Okay.
Interstellar, Dark Knight Rises, Inception, Dark Knight, Prestige, Batman Begins, Insomnia, Memento, Following, and that's it. So The Following would be his first, not The Following, Following would be his first movie. Memento was awesome.
Memento is great.
Insomnia,
no spoilers.
Yeah, Insomnia is freaky. That was Pacino and Robin Williams.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Insomnia Memento, but now that I just saw The Prestige, I'm in.
Yeah, Insomnia.
Memento is great.
Robin Williams is a serial killer. Al Pacino is a cop, and it takes place in like this Alaska town where the sun never goes down.
So it messes
with Pacino's head as he's trying to search down the serial killer.
I'm in.
So, yeah, it's not bad. I would say, I mean, Inception
was
awesome.
So that's not your guess.
That's not my guess because I think that's a great movie. It's either got to be his first one, Following, or it's got to be, I'm going to say, Interstellar.
See, I'm going to say, like, off of that list, I'm going to say, like, Memento, and it's going to, like, and the percentage is going to be, like, 84.
Right. Okay, so it's down by, like, a percent over
the
next one, and it's still really good. Okay, that's a very good guess. I like where you're going with that. Lindsay?
Congratulations on both logically.
Way wrong.
Both wrong, yeah.
Okay.
The Following is on the lower end of the list, yes, but not in last. And you said Interstellar.
I said Interstellar. Yeah.
So that is correct.
Hey.
Really?
I did get it.
You did get it. Yeah.
That was McConaughey, or was that a different movie?
That was McConaughey,
Yes. So Interstellar is the worst ranked Christopher Nolan movie via the tomato meter.
Right.
Any guesses as to that percentage?
Again, I'm going to go with Michael's thought process.
It's like
it's over 60. Yeah.
Yeah, 71%, and that's the lowest ranking movie, so obviously he's very good. He was the executive producer on Batman vs. Superman, which only has a 27%,
right,
and Man of Steel, 55%, Transcendence, 20%, but that's when he's, you know, producing and not actually directing these films.
Right.
The next one up on the list is The Prestige at 75%, which I saw that, and I got really angry.
Right, well, think about it, though. You're really angry because it's, you know, 12th on the list. Out of 13,
right.
So it's at the bottom. But overall, it's still in the top 1%.
Right.
Yeah, and this is Prestige has been listed on, you know, Movies to See Before You Die, and
right.
AV Club listed as in the top 10 films of the aughts or whatever, or not the aughts, the OOs or whatever they're calling
that
decade.
Yeah, that's the aughts. That's
the aughts?
Technically correct. Yeah, that's what the 1900s were called. Were the aughts? Aught one, aught four.
Right. I don't know.
I don't think anybody's come up with a good. It's like the generation born between like 1979 and 1984, like in between Generation X and Generation Y, or in between Generation X and the Millennials.
Isn't that Generation Y?
Yeah.
No, okay. It's not. There is no such thing as Generation Y. There's this weird like gap generation, which I am a part of and you guys are not. You guys are Millennials and I am not Generation X. So where do I fall? So they keep coming up with names and they're like, this one nails it perfectly, and they're all dumb.
Yeah.
So.
Well, all I've heard, though, is Christopher Nolan's worst movie beats the hell out of Michael Bay's best movie. That's all I've heard.
If you're doing it on a scale of explosions, then no.
No, yes, very much true. Don't get me wrong. I like a good Michael Bay movie here.
Also on dollars. Doesn't Michael Bay have like one of the top five movies of all time? Like,
oh, money-wise, yeah. He just prints money.
Yeah.
Prints money. If you ever really want to get me fired up, talk about the last Transformers movie that I saw. The one with I was promised robot dinosaurs, and I did not get enough robot dinosaurs, and I was
no Grimlock?
They were very minimal.
Yeah, okay. The scenes with the dinosaur robots were time-wise less than the amount that it took for one of the guys to explain why it was okay for him to be 20 and the daughter to be 17. I was like, just make the daughter 18.
That's right, the Romeo and Juliet law.
The Romeo and Juliet law, that is an actual scene in that film. I'm so angry about it.
I don't understand why they just didn't make her 18. It's just like... She got held back a year. Whatever you have to do.
Right.
It just was weird, and it didn't need to be weird.
And he pulled out a card.
And it was still just like the Megan Fox level of, oh, yeah, here's a hot babe. Oh, my gosh. I was so angry. I was like seething in the movie, not sweaty. I think that's the thing. Michael Bay is seething. Christopher Nolan, it's sweaty.
Once again, dirty sexy trivia coming up at Penn Central. Lindsay will be hosting.
Yeah. Okay, so
I'm all about Bad Boys 3, though. I just want that out there.
Yeah, we went off the rails. So, secret phrase. What did we say?
Oh, I don't have one. I didn't think of any. How about you didn't say it was a foot long?
I was going to say Christopher Nolan is sweaty.
Oh.
Lindsay, which way do you want to go?
Oh, da-dun, da-dun. I want to go Christopher Nolan is sweaty.
All right. Done and done.
Well, he's not sweaty, but he is, you know, in the sense of the secret phrase. All right, cool. So this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. This is episode number 255. We have 256 coming your way next week, and we're going to figure out whether or not.
Apology incoming.
Apology incoming. Stay tuned. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.